In reality television, the people are represented by two separate but equally obsessed attorneys. This is their podcast.
Hi, I'm Ceci.
And I'm Angela.
And this is the Bravo Docket.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Guys, the time has finally come to watch Vanderpump Villa, and Angela and I have been so excited to watch it since we heard that they were casting people to go to her villa and experience this luxury vacation. It's going to be good.
For those who don't know, Vanderpump Villa is Lisa Vanderpump hosting luxury travelers at her villa called Chateau Rosabelle in the French countryside. So we're going to get the drama from people going and staying at her chateau. And we're going to get the drama from the staff behind the scenes, and you know it's going to be good. They're going to be living together, working together, playing together 24/7.
We know our Bravo Docket listeners are going to love this because we know that you all like the finer things in life because you're listening to our podcast. So this is perfect for all of you listening because Lisa's staff is going to try and provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for the guests staying at Lisa's chateau, all the while trying to meet Lisa Vanderpump's high standards. And you all know Lisa Vanderpump has high standards. That is a high bar.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
In reality television, the people are represented by two separate but equally obsessed attorneys. This is their podcast.
Hi, I'm Ceci.
And I'm Angela.
And this is the Bravo Docket.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Bravo Docket. We hope you all had an amazing holiday. I know both of us did, even though it was an untraditional holiday for us both. I think COVID, sickness, you know, you name it. But there was still so much going on, even when we were like trying to take a break. And for those who saw our Instagram, we decided to do some research on Noella and Sweet James, and we posted a little preview of our research over the holidays, and that's actually the topic of this episode.
Over break, I was staying at my in-laws and ended up having time to do a lot of research, and man, James and Noella have a lot of things to say on Instagram, and they... James had a divorce, not just with Noella and with his ex-wife, but also with his former law partner in California. And it was a messy business divorce. So
we're going to go over all of it.
It's like a lot of things.
There's so much, so much. And I like just want to remind people that this isn't our personal opinion about anything. We're just like summarizing things that we read in pleadings, legal filings. Some people kind of like were a little upset with our post on Instagram, but we're not posting things to bring anyone down or like, I don't know, choose a side. There are no sides. So we just post what we read.
Yeah. I mean, and people were great about it, but also, I mean, it did seem, I think some people thought maybe we were picking on Noella a little bit, which we absolutely did not intend to do. It was just, these are just facts and things that have been alleged in pleadings. And I think since then, more has come out from both Noella and James. And so people, I think, are a little more nuanced about their feelings now.
Yeah. So let's get into it. I think the natural way to do this is to give a little background on Sweet James and his practice. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So I, you know, have been in Texas and on the East Coast and in the Midwest. So I was not familiar with Sweet James. I hadn't seen any of his commercials or anything before. So when this came up, I Googled and found some, and he's got a very big social media presence and then radio presence with his Sweet James brand. He has kind of like a baseball font for his name. Sweet James is not something I would have picked for a plaintiff's attorney's firm. I don't tend to think, and I think most people don't tend to think of attorneys as sweet. You know,
that's, I thought we're that sweet. Was
You're sweet. I used to be sweet. I don't think I am anymore.
Oh, no, I'm not sweet. I'm kidding.
I've been practicing law too long. But I thought that was an unusual, I mean, it's a choice. I thought it was kind of an unusual choice for a plaintiff's attorney. I think people normally, and maybe just because I'm in Texas, but like Texas plaintiff's attorneys.
The hammer.
They want to look tough.
I know one in Texas, it was like the hammer. Like.
Yeah, the law hawk, the hammer. Yeah. It's like, you know, we fight for you. And there's, I forget who it is here, but they have like all the billboards and he looks super tough. Like he's like staring like pensively and kind of meanly off into the distance in a black and white picture. And so that's kind of what I'm used to, not the Sweet James baseball font.
He does have a sweet smile though, like to
be
fair.
Okay, so not to jump ahead, but I played one of his Instagram videos where he was defending himself for my husband. And John was like, wow, he seems like a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
That was like
there's
his
something
initial
about
impression.
Him. I think like the way he smiles comes off really genuine. I don't know.
Well, he looks very non-threatening. Like he doesn't look like he looks like if he was walking behind me in a parking lot, I would probably be less afraid. You know, it's like there's some guys for you and you're just naturally like, I'm going to put my keys through my fingers, you know, even if they're not doing anything wrong. He looks very non-threatening, I guess. And that smart plaintiff's attorneys know how they appear to other people and they play that up and they use it to their advantage. So he's definitely, I think, done that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I work with people in LA and they're like my coworkers that are also fans of the show were telling me that like his billboards are literally everywhere. There's apparently like one really close to where my parents live, so I need to go visit just so I can go see it, but supposedly his billboards are literally everywhere in LA.
Well, as you're going to talk about when you discuss the trademark suit, he has spent a ton of money, so they should be everywhere with the amount of money he claims to have spent. Okay, but a little background on him. So they're both from Utah, and actually, so Sweet James and his first wife are both from Utah. And then I looked on Noella's Instagram, and there's actually a picture of her with Meredith Marks, because I was kind of wondering if with their Utah connections, if they knew any of the Salt Lake City castmates or whatever, cast members. They married on January 20th, 1999. They were married for 18 years. They don't have any children together. His first wife, I'm not going to like mention her by name just because she didn't choose to be on TV. That was Noella's choice. And depending on which one you listen to, his choice to or not, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, his first wife seems like just a really lovely person. She's got a YouTube channel where she teaches art. She seems very normal, very not real housewifey, like very sweet, normal, just kind person who kind of actually matches the demeanor that he sort of puts out. So she has a bachelor's in fine art and master of letters. Do you know what a master of letters is? I don't know what that is. And according to court docs filed by his first wife, she supported James and herself while James got his law degree. And that's from her spousal support petition.
Master of letters, postgraduate degree in select British and Irish universities. I don't know what it is for, though.
Interesting.
Someone will tell us.
Will tell us, and then we will learn. It's always nice when our listeners provide us with like useful information. So anyway, so he's built up this huge brand with his plaintiff's attorney billboards and then radio appearances. Oh, apparently he was on a radio program with called Justice with Sweet James, where he like talked about that. He was the official attorney of the Los Angeles Clippers, which I didn't know.
That's cool.
That was a thing. Yeah. And so he would distribute t-shirts at those games. So Ceci's going to talk about the trademark lawsuits for this, but he has spent at least $50 million promoting the Sweet James trademark, including $10 million in the past 12 months alone. And that was from the petition that was filed in 2020.
Yeah, so I don't want to go like too in depth in the law on this, but just to point out, like, it seems like he's very protective of his trademark. like you said, he spent millions and millions of dollars in promoting it, which is important when you're filing this kind of petition to prove like the strength of the brand and the mark that you have. So he filed against a competitor personal injury law firm in the area that was doing this thing. Like, it's really cool. I geek out over this stuff, like search engine optimization, where you like purchase certain keywords. So when someone does a Google search for something, your business pops up. So he claims that this competing law firm purchased like Sweet James, not like the domain or anything, but like put in bids using the term Sweet James, so that anytime anyone Googled Sweet James, this competitor law firm's firm would pop up.
And okay, so this is fascinating to me because I don't know, this is like one area of the law that I actually don't know anything about and I've never litigated in, I've never had a client. I even like on an ancillary like basis, I don't know anything about. So it's super fascinating to me. So like, how is it wrong if it's like the free market, if somebody gets that name and the SEO?
So that's what I was going to say. Like, it's courts are kind of split and it's kind of gray right now because it's not necessarily, well, courts are mixed up about this, like whether or not it's straight infringement, trademark infringement, just by purchasing the name, you know, and for search optimization purposes. At least in the Second Circuit, which is the circuit that governs like New York, at least in the Second Circuit, that's not just like straight trademark. You still have to look at certain factors, like whether or not a person, like a normal person looking this up or looking at this would be confused between the two brands. Like, I don't know, like if they saw this competitor's website, if they were like, oh, they belong with Sweet James, that would then lead to maybe a finding that there is some general confusion that should lead to a finding that there was trademark infringement. So it's really about consumer confusion, like whether or not the consumer would be confused based on this law firm's actions. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, because it's like if you are doing it in a way that it makes it confusing, like if you're not IKEA, but then you're buying like IKEA as a search term or whatever, and then you also have like a furniture store, and it's like it somehow becomes confusing, or you look like you're associated with IKEA. That makes sense to me for like a trademark infringement type thing. But if you're not doing it in a way that's confusing, then yeah, I would be like, well, that person paid for it and got it. Like, this is America. That's how the free market works. Yeah.
Yeah. So I am like dabbling in trademark litigation. I mainly do copyright litigation, which is different. Trademark litigation and trademark claims seem to like put it on the onus of the consumer. So whether or not the consumer would be confused. Copyright is a little bit cleaner. Like if you're copying someone's image, that's a little bit easier to prove. This is a balancing test that goes into it. And there's like 8 factors. So at least in the Second Circuit, I haven't looked up like the Ninth Circuit, which is what governs California.
Balancing tests are great for attorneys because that gives us a lot to argue about, a lot of billable hours. Whenever you're doing something with a balancing test, it's always like, oh, this case will, you know.
You have to go through each one and prove it or like disprove it.
Right.
In trademark cases, a lot of what you do is like do consumer surveys. So you do market research for your litigation to see whether or not there is consumer confusion,
wow.
You know, to like support the confusion claim. You go out and like put surveys out there. So if you see
and
a survey,
and those can be manipulated so much with the way you word the questions and everything, like that's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. But then you like use that as evidence in your claims, in your lawsuit or whatever, throughout discovery to say, yeah, there is consumer confusion because look, the market population that we target is confused by this.
Right.
So of course there's confusion. I guess like in this case, Sweet James would have like put out a survey to people that had gotten in accidents and like, who would you choose? Are they the same people? Anyway, so the search engine optimization thing was one part of his claim. The other one was that this law firm was representing that they were under the umbrella of Sweet James and they weren't. Wait, I didn't look up what happened to this lawsuit.
I
was going to, and then I stopped.
Okay. Notice of voluntary dismissal filed by plaintiff Sweet James. So yeah, it's settled.
Oh, he filed it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, the outcome of that was that they settled. Frustrating for us. Probably good for them. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows what happened? Yeah. I guess maybe we could like Google the firm and see if they still pop up when you know?
Yeah.
Well, no. Now if you Google Sweet James, there's like a million other things that pop up.
Now if you put in Sweet James, it's like his stuff with Noella pops up, and the fact that he has federal tax liens. So he spent all that time and money.
Actually, he still comes up first, like his firm.
Well, it so better. He spent $50 million.
It's working.
Yeah. So good news is if you spend $50 million, you still top the Google searches, even if your ex-wife is a Real Housewife of Orange County. So that's...
Now you know.
Now you know. Anyway, so Sweet James, and he has this firm, and then it becomes... So it's Bergener and Mayorowski. It's James versus Sam.
I'm just going to call him Sam.
Yeah, I'm just going to say Sam. So they are law partners. And in California, you have to have a professional corporation. You can't have an LLC for your law firm. And it was just James's firm. And then after Sam goes to law school, because he worked at the firm and did marketing, and then he goes to law school, Sam, it appears, bought half of the firm. And so it became 50-50. And when you have a professional corporation like that in California, you have to file all this stuff, and you've got to have your bylaws, and you have a board of directors, and it was just the two of them. And that's sometimes, I will say, having litigated business disputes on both sides, it's difficult if there's only two of you, because like a Leviathan can't have two heads. I think that's John Hobbes or anyway, but like, you, there's no third person to like cast a vote. And so the two of you, and it usually starts out with people really well, like they're getting along. It's a lot like a marriage. But then when there's disagreements, it's just one person against the other person. So that becomes difficult to resolve. And in this case, there was what ended up being a business divorce. And both of them filed complaints and cross complaints against each other, saying that they were breaching fiduciary duties. And these complaints are juicy. So
juicy.
So more like quick, boring law stuff. But like the fiduciary duty, that means like if you are a member of a professional corporation and or maybe you're a real estate agent or whatever, you owe a duty to the people that you're representing or the company that you're a part of. And so both of them had a fiduciary duty to the professional corporation. And anything that they do on behalf of the corporation is supposed to be in the best interests of that professional corporation. And if you do something where you are setting up like a competitor law firm secretly while you're still part of that law firm, or you are referring clients out to a different firm and getting kickbacks, those types of things would be a breach of your fiduciary duty to the professional corporation. So, Ceci, do you want to talk, introduce this like law firm breakup lawsuit?
Yeah. So we'll start with Sam's lawsuit or Sam's complaint. He claims he was appointed as a... Oh, sorry. Hold on. Let me back up. So before they filed their complaints, they hired a provisional director to assist with decisions that were outstanding. We'll get to it, but things got so bad that they couldn't make business decisions anymore. Yeah. So they hired someone to help them make decisions. And Sam was like, if we cannot resolve this stuff, just dissolve the company.
Yeah.
That's what he started with.
Yeah.
Like Angela mentioned, he claims that they started working together in 2004. He was added to the firm. Sweet James changed the law firm's name, and it was both of their names on the firm. It was a personal injury law firm. Sam claims that James started exhibiting erratic behavior, and this is where it gets wonky. And this is all alleged. This is all in the complaint. According to him, he says it started with his personal relationships, with James's personal relationships. He said that as of 2019, Sweet James was still married to his wife. But on December 31st, 2017, Sweet James had a fake wedding to Noella. He said it was officiated by a radio personality, attended by many firm clients, but claims that many clients and supporters were really uncomfortable because they knew Sweet James was still married to his first wife. Do you want to talk about her and all that?
Okay. Yes. Okay. Let me find my notes on this because his first wife, again, they apparently met in Utah. I think they seemed like
very normal, nice couple. But so she talks about in her spousal support petition how they lived, because like she's filing for divorce in California, which is a community property state. And so she's having to like tell the court, look, this was the standard of living that we had. And what she describes honestly sounds pretty awesome. Okay, so she says, and this is a quote, our marital standard of living was upper class. We owned and continue to own two homes in excellent Irvine neighborhoods. The one in which we and later James previously resided and over which he has general control is worth approximately $1.1 million. It appears to be vacant. I learned through a third party that James lives in a rented home with his girlfriend on the water in the Crystal Cove neighborhood. The home in which I live is worth approximately $2 million. We currently own at least 10 vehicles, including three, like there's only two of them to drive them around, but they have 10 vehicles, including three high-end Porsche vehicles worth more than $100,000 each, a Ferrari, a Jaguar, recreation vehicles, and three motorcycles. We have been able to build numerous retirement accounts during the marriage. And she says, James and I went on shopping trips together at places such as Neiman Marcus, and he would say, quote, buy something fun, exclamation point. We also purchased custom furniture. When we traveled, we typically flew first class if we did not fly on our own jet. So one thing I just want to just interject here is that you probably, unless somebody is also a pilot and has like a pilot's license to fly jets, you shouldn't trust somebody that has their own plane unless they have like $1 billion, because it's just, they're so expensive. But that's just a side note. Okay, so we took numerous trips. We stayed at the best hotels. This is all from legal documents, including a 10-day trip to Norway. We flew to Germany to pick up one of James's Porsche vehicles. We drove it to numerous countries and then shipped it by boat to the United States. I mean, all of this.
Oh, apparently that's cheaper.
Yeah, but it's cheaper also to do just it that way. Sounds awesome.
I know. I've looked into that before, though. It is like cheaper to get your car in Germany and then like ship it over.
I've heard that anyway. Too. Like if you're buying a car like at that level, and then you can like drive it on the Autobahn, and So we used private jets to fly all over the United States as we followed one of James's favorite bands for 8 days and attended their concerts. It does not say what his favorite...
What band?
I don't know. So I'm like, I was like...
That's annoying.
I know. I really wanted to know.
Wait, where was it, did she say?
It's all over the United States. So they followed one of his... I bet if you look on...
I bet he's like a fish head.
I don't hate me, listeners, but I cannot stand fish.
I don't think I've ever listened to Fish. I just know that there are fish heads.
Okay, like I have like ADHD and their songs don't end and you don't know when they're going to end. And it's like I've had friends that are super into Fish and I was like, I've literally like hid under a bed to try to get away from the fish because I'm like, it's not ending. Like this.
Yeah, I really don't think I've ever listened to them.
Well, their songs don't end. It's like there's no beginning and no end and you don't know when they're going to end. And it's just not my thing. And they're lovely people. Great band that makes a lot of people happy. It's just not for me. Okay, so they took 3 week European art trips to places like Spain and Italy, Germany and Prague. And then she says that he would join me for a week or so. So she's like, you know, doing art trips in like beautiful European countries and cities. And then he'll just join her for a week. We took so many fun trips to Chicago, San Francisco, and other cities. I also generally flew to Utah once or twice each month to see my family during our marriage. So they did maintain like close contacts, or she did at least, so she's flying on her private jet back to Utah to see the fam. And then she says, okay, petitioner's 2017 K-1, that's the corporation income, from the law corporation was $4,425,055 plus $85,000 in salary, according to the corporate returns. James's income was more than doubled between 2015 and the end of 2017. So apparently all of his advertising and everything was working. So getting back to the business lawsuit, she says in her spousal support petition, which was filed February 20th, 2020, that James has shared that he has been in dispute with a business partner and that she's been told through third parties that he may have bought out that partner. And she says she's completely in the dark as to these circumstances. So she says she needs to conduct discovery. She also talks about needing experts. And so if you watch The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you heard Sutton discuss the forensic accountants. So she says she's going to need one of those, which, yes, ma'am, I think you do. And then she says she talks about needing experts to value the cars, and then a commercial appraiser to value the office building owned by one of his companies, which is called Big Man on Campus LLC, which, by the way, I kind of hate that name. So
agree.
after this was filed.
Sorry, I like yeah. zoned out for I'm listening to you, but I was really trying to figure out what his band
did
was.
You figure it out?
And I cannot.
I'm wondering if it's like there's something like on the law firm Instagram or something that shows them.
I'm really trying to find it.
Yeah. Okay. So shortly after this spousal support petition was filed, a protective order was put in place. Okay. So here's the other thing. She was getting about $40,000 a month in voluntary spousal support. And she says that the reason why she filed this was because those payments just suddenly stopped. And she says, you know, she has no, like a lot of these wealthy women that we see on Real Housewives, for example, she says she doesn't really know anything about the finances, and she doesn't know where it is. And she's entirely relying on his benevolence and goodwill to be able to have the money to pay like the mortgage payments on these houses and insurance and all of these things. And so she says her monthly expenses are close to like $30,000 a month. And with all the stuff they have, that makes sense.
I found it.
Oh, you found it. What is it? What was his favorite band?
The Sex Pistols.
What? Are they still touring?
The Sex Pistols.
I thought most of them were dead. That's like an old, I mean, that's an old punk band. I used to listen to punk.
There's a
punk music.
There's an article about it on his law firm website. Sweet James has been a fan of the Sex Pistols since his youth and Jonesy's Jukebox since it debuted in 2003. That's, I guess, like a radio thing.
The original, like a bunch of the original Sex Pistols are dead.
I guess one of them is still alive and has retained James. Ryan Seacrest is also called Sweet James for legal advice, apparently. Anyway, sorry. That was bothering
me. Wait, so it's on the Sweet James website? Like,
yeah.
Like, I would not have guessed that. I would have guessed something like Fish, like what you were saying. Like, and again, like, I used to listen to punk music in high school. And that's
probably going to call us out for calling him a fish.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what, like, I wouldn't look at him and think,
that's the vibe.
Sex. He doesn't give off a Sex Pistols vibe, even though Noella Mm-mm. has loudly and frequently, even on the only four episodes she's been on, discussed their sex dungeon somehow in like every episode. So
I want to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. You were saying really cool stuff, though, about what she received.
Oh, so he had been voluntarily, according to her, giving her $40,000 a month in spousal support, and that those payments just ceased in like October of 2019. And it wasn't clear whether they started back up again, but it was clear that she was entirely relying on his benevolence to be able to, she's, you know, she doesn't have any income of her own and she's never had to. And he supported her for 18 yeah. years. I guess she was supporting him. And then, you know, his law firm did really well and there was no reason for her to think she would need that. It also, I mean, they don't have any kids together with the first wife, and it's like the timeline is really wonky. And so, like, James on his Instagram has been posting, and he has mentioned specifically how he wasn't able to have kids with his first wife, and then Noella went through IVF, which, by the way, is a horrifying process. Like, it's just gut-wrenching and hard in every possible way. And if anyone is going through infertility stuff, that is just so difficult, and in ways that like it's like hard to even comprehend. But like, so I feel for her for that. And then he says they ended up using a surrogate, so they tried to get pregnant for like 2 years, and then they have like a 2-year-old mm-hmm. son now, and they used a surrogate in the country of Georgia. And this is all stuff that, for whatever reason, Sweet James decides to do Instagram post, videos yeah. on
Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it's like and he talks about like how they did surrogacy in the country of Georgia, and in the country of Georgia, they do like there are surrogate program and like IVF programs there that they do advertise, saying like, we've made this easy on you for you to come to our country and, you know, do our surrogacy process. And it's like on, because I actually had never heard of that
even though I have some familiarity with this stuff. And so I Googled it, and it's like the first thing that pops up is the website. And it's like, here are egg donors and here's blah, blah, blah. So, but he's, for whatever reason, was posting about this, I think to like prove that he loves his son or something. And he was talking about how...
Wasn't it rumored that like Kenya did something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, Kenya was pretty open about, you know, needing IVF to have a child. And again, like, it is just
heart-wrenching. No, I think there was like a travel component of it. Yeah. I don't know if she confirmed it or not, but I remember there were like rumors that she traveled to some island.
It's so expensive in the United States, and insurance doesn't cover it at all. And it's frequently cheaper to go stay in a luxury hotel in another country and then pay for it out of pocket there. But I was just, you know, if for like he's been like saying like, oh yeah, I couldn't have kids with my first wife, and then he does all of this stuff publicly with Noella, and then even has like a public fake marriage, which Ceci's going to get more into as we talk about like the law firm divorce. But then to like release all this stuff on like Christmas Eve and talk about this infertility thing, and then just to try to somehow prove that you love, I don't know what his point was, but it was just weird and so messy.
I think his point was he was trying to like say like, I love my son so much, like look at how much I went through to like have my son, of course I'm in his life still. I think that was like the,
okay, yeah, I mean,
the punchline.
I kind of thought that's what he was doing, but it just also seems like really toned up and messy and mean to the ex-wife who you left for this new person and then did all this other stuff with in order to have a kid, and then just like posting about it, how much, I don't know, it just seems mean to, I don't know, and weird that I'm kind of rambling now.
But it does seem to confirm the timeline that Sam, his like ex-partner, put in the complaint. Like, because, and has Noella confirmed that they also were dating for like 5-6 years or something, or together?
Yeah, on the most...
I think she has.
Yeah, the most recent episode, like there's, I haven't seen any denial in any legal pleadings from either the ex-wife or Noella or James, like denying like the timeline. Like, in fact, the, let me pull that up because that's really interesting. The ex-wife in says that she just, she realized for the first time in like March, I think, was it March of 2000? I need to look it up. That he didn't want to be married to her any longer. And so, and it like, it's like, it's like she doesn't say what it was, but it seems clear that like all of a sudden he was just kind of like, yeah, I'm done with you. And that she realized that on that date. And so I'm going to pull that up.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right. You know what I don't miss at all? Period. Pain, the cravings, you know, just the moodiness. Trust me, I get that. And so I want to talk to you about a product called EstoControl. It's a formula developed by Happy Mammoth, which is a supplement company dedicated to making women's lives easier. Esto Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health, especially in women who suffer from PMS. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DOCKIT at checkout. Happy Mammoth also has the Bloat Banisher, which I've been trying, and it helps just make my tummy feel a little bit better throughout the day, especially when I'm just having really bad snacks or I'm stressing out. It's nice to have something I can reach to that helps me out a little bit. But again, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DOCKIT at checkout. That's D-O-C-K-E-T, DOCKIT at checkout. But because we're lawyers, we do want to remind you that these statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But yeah, go check out Happy Mammoth. I've enjoyed it, and I'm sure you will too.
Yeah, so it's alleged that there was like the fake wedding ceremony December 31st, 2017. I mean, if they were really seeing each other, who cares if it was fake?
But it's like kind of like why not just wait until you're officially divorced and then have like a real wedding? Like why?
True.
Like what's all the theatrics for? It's like this ceremony on New Year's Eve, like while you're still married to your ex-wife and that's not finalized yet. And then it's mm-hmm. like, why not just like, why are you in a hurry? Like, to do that.
Yeah.
Like,
you're right. Yeah. And then he filed divorce from his first wife, September 28, 2018. And then she filed this petition that you were talking about in March 2020.
The spousal support. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the timeline. So everyone
knows. Let me find a date where his ex-wife says that she realized, because like at the wording of it was like even interesting for like a leading or for a legal document. Okay. I considered January 20th, 2017 to be our date of separation. That was the date when it became apparent to me that, it says petitioner, but I'm just going to say James, that James no longer wished to be married to me.
It's like, ooh, it's like there's a lot of subtext there. It's like we don't know what she saw or found out, but that's when she realized he's leaving me for Noella, you know?
Yeah.
So.
But that was a year before their ceremony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just mess. It's mess. And then,
yeah.
Okay, so talk about I guess for like keeping continuity, like talk about, go more into like the divorce, like the.
Okay.
The,
yeah, so it claims that this is all, again, from Sam, the former partner, his complaint. So, like I said, he claims that there was the fake ceremony on December 31st, 2017. Claims people were like uncomfortable about it because they knew he was still married. There's some claims that people like really liked his ex-wife, who he was still married to at that time. So I'm just going to call her an ex-wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
First wife. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's better. Claims that after the ceremony, Noella and James went on this huge honeymoon and charged $86,000 to the firm's American Express credit card. When I first read that, I read it as $8,600, and I was like, okay, fine. $86,000 on like a honeymoon to Singapore and just all over the world.
Yeah, like
on the firm's credit card.
Yeah, like all of these countries, like it. I mean, it's
Dubai.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Again, like it sounds like that
$86,000
money for like, and it's like you're not even divorced yet, dude. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then Sam keeps saying that, like, they held themselves out as being married despite not actually, like, legally being married. Told people. Oh, then they started telling people that they were contacted to be on the Real Housewives of Orange County. And Sam claims that he was upset that they didn't consult with him about the decision to go on the show, which I guess, like, unless you have like an agreement to do that, I don't get why you would consult.
No, because
I guess maybe if it like
here's why
the, makes the company look bad.
It makes sense to me. So like that is going to draw a lot of attention to the company. And they think he even says in there that they had like wanted to like film in the offices. And it's like you and I are Housewives super fans. We have watched the shows for years and the husbands are always like, even if they don't want to be, they end up being on screen. And so when you have a law firm that you own 50-50 with another person and you don't like say like, I think you would have a fiduciary duty to like say, like, here's how I think it will benefit. Here's why I want to do it. And then get the other party to agree to it, because that's going to draw so much attention to you. Like, also, he's the face of that law firm, Sweet James.
Yeah.
So, like, anything that's going to affect his reputation is going to affect the law firm's reputation. So I feel like I get where the partner's coming from. Like, that should have been, they should have had to be unanimous on, like, that, in my opinion.
I do feel like, you're right. He is, like, the face of it, and it is a business decision. But, like, if he wasn't bringing up the law firm and he was just keeping it, like, I don't know.
But yeah, but you should have, you would have an agreement saying, like, we're not going to film at the office. I'm not going to talk about cases. I'm not going to, you know, which would be almost impossible with, like, how he holds himself out and presents himself as, you know, especially if he's on billboards everywhere. It could be if he had, it could be like a, like, I feel like Girardi, until all of that exploded, it made, like, Girardi always looked good on, because Erica was, like, so good at talking him up. And, like, I feel like that could have looked, Girardi, until he showed what he was doing, like, it, he'd look, I feel like he had, like, he looked good on The Real Houses of Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. Like, they showed him as, like, and she's, I mean, Erica.
Until he, like, snapped at her.
Right. Well, Erica, like, but even when he did that, it was kind of like, it didn't look bad for him or his business, really. It's just kind of like, he was, you know.
Yeah, I kind of wonder, like, going back to OC, like, how Emily and Shane's firms or businesses or whatever, employers.
Yeah, Emily doesn't handle them being on the show anymore. Like, she works with the.
But Shane does.
Shane, well, yeah, where does he work? I don't even know where he works.
He's employed, and he was, I think, working somewhere in Utah, and that's why he wasn't, like, super concerned about passing the bar in California. Of course, he was trying, but, like, he was barred in Utah, you know?
Yeah.
California's hard as heck. I'm avoiding it, like, the plague.
I mean, I, like, look, I feel for Shane, like, as far as that goes, I don't, you know, and some people just are not good on TV, so it's like, I'm not going to judge, but, like,
I like him. I think he's hilarious. Like, I don't know. I like his style of humor. It's funny.
I haven't watched enough of the OC to have an opinion, is what I will say. Like, I will say that, like, the few scenes I have watched with him, he has not come off well. But I don't have, I would say, I know, the of all of the Real Housewives franchise, I have the least knowledge of the OC.
Yeah, I think, well, like, this season, he's just, like, not trying to impress anyone, which I like.
Yeah.
He's just himself. Like,
yeah.
You know, he's not going to dress up for his party. He's being himself. That's all to say, I'm, like, just curious to know if he had to, like, run it by his employers ahead of time that he was going to be on The Housewives and, you know, if he had to do any of that. But that's just my curiosity. It's fair enough. Fair enough that Sam wanted James to, like, come to him to consult about the fact that they were approached by the Real Housewives of Orange County. Well, going back to
one thing. Emily works for the Innocence Project now, which is a really great organization. And if you don't know about it, we think you should Google it. And we have promised part of, like, as soon as we make any profits, to donate part of our money to that organization, because it's a great one. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that is great. I wish she had more law stuff on, you know, like, I wish she brought more of her law stuff to the show. But really like Emily. Okay.
Back to the mess.
Here's another. Back to the mess. This is really messy. So this is from the complaint. This is an allegation. We're not saying this is fact.
The law firm, divorce complaint. Yeah.
We're not saying we believe this. So he claims that James spread hateful stuff through his alter ego, Kenny Brassen. He posted on his firm laptop I'm turning into who's the the cartoon character from Looney Tunes that talks like this?
Is it Elmer Fudd?
I'm turning into Elmer Fudd. I can't say any R's right now for some reason. Okay, so he claims that he posted on his firm laptop to right-wing alt websites.
Okay, that is really hard to say, and it's one of those things that is hard for me to say, like, without my southern accent, which is, like,
I cannot say it. I don't think I've ever had to say that out loud. Right-wing alt websites.
That is difficult to say. Right,
Yeah, like right-wing alt website. You can't say it without an accent.
Firm laptop. Right-wing alt websites. Okay. So he claims he was, like, posting on his firm laptop, like, a bunch of, like, racist stuff, just, like, horrible stuff under an alter ego.
So that's
probably
true.
Like a screen name.
That's awful, but we don't know.
We don't know. Yeah. He posted, apparently, porn depicting violence against women from this account. And he claims, Sam claims that James removed some of the posts knowing that they were entering into mediation. So.
Okay, so real quick, everybody, I think, knows if you are on your work computer that's owned by your work, you have no expectation of privacy on that computer, and they can track everything you're doing. Like, they own the computer, and they probably are tracking. I don't know if anyone's looking at it, but they're probably tracking what you're doing. So in this case, because this is a law firm, like professional corporation divorce, and they're both attorneys, and this Sam hired a forensic computer person to go through and see if, you know, there was anything on his partner's computer, because they were both, like, going after each other. And because the computer and all of that is owned by the law firm, he could do that, because that's, he is a representative and half owner of the firm. So he says that he got this information by having a computer forensics person come in and look at the stuff on James's computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. Even things like your Skype chats, like, on your computer, like, that, it's also discoverable.
Yeah, totally. So, like, yeah, all that data is the, like, all that data, all that electronic evidence, all of that, like, metadata, that's all the property of the law, the professional corporation, which was owned equally by Sam. So he could hire somebody to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Which
yeah, that's why I bought
did.
Another laptop for the podcast. I was like, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not using my employer's laptop. Sam goes on to claim that James neglected his managerial duties for the firm. He claims he missed a flight. This is, like, one example that Sam gives. James missed a flight to attend a critical meeting in Nevada because he was having sex with Noella and another employee. That's an allegation.
It doesn't say whether or not it was in the sex dungeon that Noella is so proud of and that she slept in when she was sad, which I thought that was a weird detail to mention, but.
Oh, I didn't know she said that. I missed that.
Yeah. Yeah. She has managed to bring up the sex dungeon on every episode somehow. And it's like, no one's, it's just like all of a sudden she's just like, blah, 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 sex dungeon. Like, she will just interject that into, like, conversation that has nothing to do. It's like Emily's like, Shane passed the bar, and Noella's like, sex dungeon.
It's also a very, like, sad looking room. You know, I don't know.
I don't know I don't what sex dungeons normally sheets. Look like, but it's like,
you need, wait, no, you have seen it. Carlton. Wasn't Carlton, like, didn't she have one in Beverly Hills?
Did she? I thought she just, like, her house was just, like, she was, like, Wiccan and then
sex everywhere? No. She definitely had a dungeon.
Did she? I don't remember her having a sex dungeon. Now I'm gonna have to, like, go look it up.
I don't know. Somehow that's, like, a recurring theme across Housewives, and I just, like, don't care.
I don't, like, do what you want to do, like, but it's like, I don't care. Yeah. Like, but I don't need
to know.
I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in, like, petty arguments about whether or not someone tags somebody in an Instagram photo.
You know, like, I would be interested in seeing what they buy for groceries. The boring stuff. I don't need your sex dungeon.
Yeah.
Like, just show me, like, what a shopping trip looks like. What do you have in your cart right now at Nordstrom's? I want to see that. I don't want to know about your sex dungeon.
I want petty arguments that are just ridiculous. Like, you serve champagne in the wrong glass, or you sat in someone else's chair. Like, I want petty garbage.
I don't know. I just want to be, like, mentored. I want to see. I just want to see, like, what they do and then apply it to my life.
Did you see the suitcase of cheese? I was expecting way nicer cheese. And I felt really validated. Like, the Louis Vuitton suitcase of cheese in the latest episode.
Or, like, a lot more. I mean, it was a beautiful charcuterie board, I will say.
I was expecting fancier cheese. Like, you know, I felt really validated when they talked about the cheese on Watch What Crappens. And I forget if it was Ben or Ronnie. And he's like, it was just like stuff from Trader Joe's, which is great. But I was expecting, like, the finest, like, you know, the finest, like, cheeses from different regions. Like, you know, I like cheese. So.
Oh, I went. Yeah, same. I went to Sonoma last weekend and
so jealous.
Gained 5 pounds off of cheese.
I am so jealous.
No regrets. No regrets. Yeah. So continuing in the complaint,
yes.
Sam also claims that Sweet James had a sexual relationship. Not sure if it's the same employee, but with an employee who threatened to quit the firm. He claims that James bought her off by flying her to Fresno using the company's money. He tried to use the company jet, but got denied. So then he used the company's profits to buy her a flight to Fresno. I don't know why.
I thought he put her on the private plane. And I'm like, okay, no. I would want to go to Singapore if you were buying me off. I'm just saying. Not that I would accept bribes, but like.
Fresno? Do you know about Fresno? Like, it's. Nothing.
That's what
like,
I'm saying. I would want to go to Singapore. Yeah. Or take me to Hong Kong. I really want to go.
Yeah, buy her off to. Maybe she had like a family trip or something.
Okinawa.
And he was like, I'll just
I would
pay
love
for your
to
flight.
Go to Japan. Like.
Yeah, but he bought her. That's not even that long of a flight to Fresno. That's probably like up and down.
Yeah.
Like between Oakland and LA, it's 45 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm sure to Fresno, it's like 20.
It's like.
What's going on here?
It's like on Vanderpump Rules when Lala was like, oh, we can get on the PJ. And then they get on the plane and it's like a 10-minute flight.
I mean, it apparently was only like $8,000. I was kind of shocked that. Well, then again, not because it's like a 10-minute flight. But anyway, so he paid her off with a flight to Fresno and then tried to get her salary doubled.
So
as like a,
I read it as he did double the salary and like, but didn't check with Sam, like, cause like that's a, you know, a company decision or whatever. And they only have like 50 employees or something. So like, if you're doubling someone's salary, then you should be checking with your partner, like your, who owns half the company.
I would take my salary being doubled over being flown to Singapore.
No, I would say I would want both, but you and I are attorneys and we're good at negotiating. So it's
you want to do that? You're going to give me a flight to Fresno, Singapore. Doubling my salary.
My philosophy always is the worst thing they can do is say no. Like, and a lot of times you ask for things and people are like, yes. And then you're like, damn, I should have asked for more. Like, so,
yeah. Yeah, so then he claims after he confronted Sweet James about it, James kind of like disappeared from making business decisions. He claims that he had taken overdraws of over $2 million of the firm's money and hadn't reimbursed it. Instead of fixing his behavior, James apparently retaliated, stopped attending meetings with him, in front of the employees.
I really liked in the complaint where, because it sounded so childish, like, where
no, I know what you're going to
say. Sam was like that they would have meetings and that James would just like stand with his back turned like in the meeting and like
not looking at him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that those meetings were really fun to go to.
Oh my God. Like anyone that's been in like a toxic work environment has experienced something like that where it's like you show up to work and it's like, oh shit, like I need to go get this from this person, but if I ask them and the other person sees me asking them, then it's going to be such mess,
especially when it's like smaller like this.
Yeah.
So he goes on to claim that because they aren't working well together, like Sam can't expand their business. They can't take advantage of advantageous tax reforms, things like that. They're just like the business is not being run as it should be because of their conflicts. He says that they've invested significantly in its strong and reputable brand. They bring up again how much they've expended into making the brand really strong.
Yeah.
So similar to like the trademark lawsuit that we talked about earlier, he claims that they expended over $17.2 million in advertising and other efforts to grow and expand their brand. And yeah, that's it. Yeah. So like you were saying, there were 88 employees, a little more than 50,
but still
a kind of small business.
If you co-own a business with someone and you're like using the private plane or like you have corporate bylaws that are supposed to say like how you can do what or what this, you know, corporate assets can be used for. There's rules and you're supposed to like follow them and do what's best for the company opposed to like just what you feel like doing. And even 88 employees is still, it's like if you're doubling one of those employees' salaries, you should probably run that by your law partner that owns half the company. Like it's, it's like just like one of those things where, yeah, you kind of have to be like reasonable and make prudent decisions that are in the best interest.
Yeah. I mean, just based on all these allegations, and I don't want to like start rumors or anything, but it seems like the thread that they're building or the story that they're building with all of these complaints and stuff, or that it seems like, is that his company got really successful and he kind of like changed a little, and maybe that led him into dating Noella and divorcing his wife. That's just the sense I'm getting, just from a high level bird's eye view.
Yeah, I mean, his ex-wife seems like, again, like just like a very non-housewifey, normal, lovely person that you would just probably enjoy spending time with. And again, she matches like the demeanor that he puts off, like when you just see him with his very, you know, normal looking curly hair, like he, like non-threatening, you know, like they look, when I saw his ex-wife, I was like, those two, if you saw them out together, that makes sense. When you see him and Noella together, it's kind of like he's, that's Noella's a choice, like a much different type of choice that men that age sometimes have midlife crises and, you know, make that type of choice.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think we're going to end it here. We were planning to get into all of it, but this is just so freaking juicy that we're
so
going
much.
To talk about. There's just so much. We're going to talk about what Sweet James kind of alleged. And then, oh my God, my stomach is growling.
Okay, we're gonna talk about what his partner. So we're gonna talk about what Sweet James alleged, like in his cross complaint in the law firm divorce, because he had his own things to say. Like they were both pointing fingers at each other. And we're gonna talk about divorce laws in Puerto Rico. We're gonna talk about the tax stuff in Puerto Rico, because James has these tax liens from the federal government and from the state of California for like $5 or $6 million, which is a big deal because it's only for like 2 years. And so we're going to explain like why you would want to have Puerto Rico residency for that and what you have to prove. And then also divorce law in Puerto Rico is a bit different than what we're used to in, you know, California or Texas or somewhere like that. There's some differences which are interesting. So we're going to go into all of that. There's a lot more mess.
Enough for another episode. So we'll end that here. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The Bravo Docket is part of the Acast Creator Network.